Our glorious Heavenly Father, what a blessing, Lord, for us to come here on this Lord's Day and to fall at your feet, Lord, and to learn from you. Oh, Father, as we sang that song, as Jesus shines brighter than the moonlight, than the sunlight, than the starry host, than all the angels heaven can boast. Oh, Father, what a wonderful, loving Savior we have. Our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our soul's glory. He is our joy. And He is our crown. What a wonderful delight it is for us to come and worship Him with all the strength, with all the love that He has given us, that we can worship Him and serve Him for the rest of our lives. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that Your Word would really get into our hearts today, Lord, that it would minister to our souls, that we would come and our souls get satisfied, that You would fatten our souls with the precious Word of God, that You would open the treasures of heaven today, Lord, and rain on us Your wisdom, Your knowledge, and Your love upon us, that we can serve You. In Jesus' name, amen. As we are going to continue in the book of Ephesians, last two Sundays, we went on the wives. We are talking about the family here. And how the wives needs to be subject to the husbands and submit to the husbands. And we went through two series on the wives, and now we are getting on to the husbands. The role of the husband. Remember, as I told you, that how God had prepared everything in order. Everything. We saw that from the very beginning. I laid a foundation. The order God has put on, the order even outside of this church and everything, He's put everything in order. And with order comes what? Submission. Okay? With order comes submission. So that's something we need to understand. So Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 says, now to the husbands, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Now, remember, the early church began in homes. That's where the early church began. It was the church service, the church worship service, and the worshiping of the Lord. Everything was done at homes. Here we see even the church is made up with families. Different families coming to the assembly of God. So the homes are very important to the Christianity, as the homes are a vital part of the church. But today we can see that homes are falling apart. When I say falling apart, not physically homes are falling apart, but the marriages are falling apart. And we saw this before, the divorce rate has risen up to over 50%. Unbelievers and Christians have the same divorce rate. And this is very pitiful, and we can see what's going on here, because the foundation, that is the Word of God, people have forgotten the foundations of the Word of God, and they are not obeying the foundations. And homes are there to glorify God and give reverence and respect to God, that the Bible and the Lord Jesus would be the center in the home. Instead, we have what? Violence, killings, divorce, and they have neglected the biblical teachings. And even the churches are more concerned of the buildings, you know, and they're more concerned of all the building projects and all these things, instead of really getting into the teachings of the Word of God, and they had departed from the Ten Commandments. Even I know a lot of churches don't even teach on the Ten Commandments. They believe the Ten Commandments, but how many churches are teaching the Ten Commandments? Nobody can know that they are a sinner. Sinner, an unbeliever, can never know that they are sinners unless the commandments of God is taught. It's the law that shows them they are sinners. Okay? So, we have departed from the laws of God. And instead, there is, you know, on the television what you see is husband and wife cheating with each other. And we see adultery, immorality, violence. And we can see it's okay to do that. It's okay because we are living in a different society. It's the culture. No, it is not culture. All cultures, all societies should submit to the Word of God. And here in verse 25, Ephesians says, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And here we see a parallel, a beautiful parallel, a beautiful picture for the husband to love the wife just like how Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, of course, this is the model that is the Word of God has given us. The model is for the husband to love the wife just like how Christ loved the church. Now, I'll tell you, husbands can never come up to this model because Christ's model is the infinite model that is the perfect model, isn't it? No husband can totally, 100% love the wife, just like how Christ loved the church. But the only way it can be done is by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. That's what we need to understand. But, so here we see, the husbands are given, just imagine, if Christ, we need to love the wife just like Christ loved the church. What an example. What a golden example that is. So husbands are given a great responsibility here. A great responsibility and look up to Christ and do the same thing what Christ has done to the church. Same kind of love. So that's a very big responsibility, and that's a foundational principle in the house for the husbands to follow. Alright? Now, this love is affection, total affection for one woman only. Okay? When it says husbands love your wives, it doesn't mean husbands love all your wives in the house. No. This is given to one woman. And this one woman is the wife. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 2. 1 Corinthians 7 2 says, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife. It's not wives, it's own wife. And each woman have her own husband, singular. Alright? So it's so important, this is talking to the wife, husbands, love your wife. Alright, now, here we see love is of the highest place. If Christ loved the church, that means this love is of the highest place. And this is an affectionate, intimate love. It's the love like how Isaac had for Rebecca. It's the love how like Jacob had for Isaac had for Rebecca and Jacob had for Rachel. If you remember, if you go with me to Genesis chapter 24, Genesis 24, 24 verse 67.
says here, then Isaac brought her, that is, brought Rebecca into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebecca, and she became his wife. And he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And that was a passionate, intimate love. That's the love we are talking here. And also, let's see Jacob's love for Rachel. And if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 29, verse 10. Genesis 29:10. Now soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob came near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told the father. Now if you go with me to verse 18, Jacob loved Rachel. And he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed to him for a few days because of the love he had for her. Wow! This is the kind of love we are talking. The intimate, passionate love. 7 years is a long time to wait for a wife. But it seems that he worked and worked hard to get Rachel. And you know the story what happened at the end. Laban said, you've got to work another 7 years. Right? But Jacob did not refuse. He worked. Just imagine, that's the way how Christ loved the church. Just imagine Jesus, he left heaven and came down to this earth. And he came down and from the very beginning, from his birth, he came to do the mission. He came because he loved the church. And he wanted to save the church. And his work, all the way through, even through persecution that he went through, even through hard times, temptations that he came, the devil tempted him, the Pharisees persecuted him, and the Jews tried to stone him. And he went through all these things because he loved us. At the end, he was even part of, even went to the cross because of the church. Jesus worked hard because he loved the church. That's the same kind of love we are talking here. As the husband should love the wives. Now, I know when we get married, we make certain vows saying that we are going to promise to the wife that we are going to take care of her. And there's an unknown author, I'm going to just quote this quotation, and it says here, this is a wedding vow that a husband tells the wife. From this day forward, you shall not walk alone. My heart will be your shelter, and my arms will be your home. By an unknown author. Now, of course, the Bible talks a lot about love. A lot about love, the physical love, the sexual love that a husband should have for the wife. Even when a woman got, man and a woman got married, God told in his law that the man is not supposed to go to war for certain years. He should enjoy the life with the wife. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 24 verse 5. Deuteronomy 24:5. When a man is newly married, he shall not go out with the army or be liable for any other public duty. He shall be free at home for how many weeks?
1 year.
1 year. You are not supposed to work. You are to be happy with a wife whom he has taken. Wow. It's not a honeymoon for just for a few days. But God said, 1 year you're going to be with your wife. That's biblical. So here we see that God encouraged the wedding. God encouraged for the husband and wife to have a good sexual marriage, that good intimacy is promoted here. And also Proverbs chapter 5 verse 18 says, Proverbs chapter 5, 18, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely, dear, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you all times with delight, be intoxicated always in her love. And here we see how the world has made this into sexual immorality, you know. Husband and wife, they get married, and at the end, the world shows that, no, it's okay for you to go to another woman. And the world has promoted what? Physical beauty. And world has promoted adultery. And the world has taken what God has put good in to and shows all kinds of sins. There's so much temptations. So husband, love your wives. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? This love in Greek is what is called agape love. The word here, husband, love your wife, the word love is agape love. It means a sacrificial love. Same love that God the Father had to the Son. Okay, that's divine love, isn't it? That's godly love. If you turn with me to John chapter 17, verse 26. John 17, 26. And Jesus, and here we see, I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, I in them. And here we see the beautiful, intimate, passionate love between the Father and the Son. That's the kind of love the husband and the wife should have. It's a godly love. It's agape love. It's sacrificial love. It's the same love that God had to the church. Remember, John chapter 3:16. God so what? Loved the world. The world are the believers who love them, the church. And also Romans chapter 5 verse 8. If you turn with me to Romans 5, 8. Romans chapter 5, 8. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the sacrificial love. Romans 5, 8. When we were still sinners, God died for us. That's absolutely sacrificial love. Right? In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 says, what? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and what? Gave Himself up for her. Now, this agape love, we are talking sacrificial love that a husband should have for the wife. So is this love grounded on beauty and riches and wealth? How many men, or how many women, on the other hand, and men marry because of beauty? You know, a lot of people get married because of physical beauty. And a lot of people get, oh, he's a handsome guy. Oh, she's a beautiful woman. I want to marry her. And you know, and also some people get married because, oh, she's a rich woman. Maybe if I marry her, I can, you know, pay my bills. Or on the other way, wife can do the same way. I can marry him because he's rich. See, this is a problem what happens in the world. They marry for physical beauty. The beauty should be inward, not outward, right? When you marry for physical beauty, something happens. There's problems in finances. The home falls apart because you marry for a motive. You marry for a reason. When you marry a beautiful girl, what happens if she meets with an accident? What happens if her face burns and part of her face is all gone? Then what? Then you see another beautiful girl coming with much prettier. Then what happens? You get tempted. Well, because you marry somebody for physical beauty. But the marriage, this love is not grounded on physical beauty or riches or wealth. Think about it. If when Christ made his love to the church neither had any beauty or any wealth. We were pitiful, poor, blind, miserable. But Christ, who is perfect in beauty, okay, perfect in grace, perfect in honor, perfect in wealth, he owns the whole universe. When he married us, we were wretched, miserable, poor, blind creatures. So the love that we are talking here, agape love, is not based on any physical beauty or in wealth or in riches. So that's what we need to understand. Okay? That's why it's so important we need to build our house on the foundation of the Word of God. It's the soul that we need to think about. It's the spirituality we need to think about, not the physical. So important. There's a story here. There was this mother. Half of his face was all burnt. And I think she had one eye or something like that. And she had a pretty beautiful teenage girl. And one day, she came. This is the first time she visited her daughter in school. And when she visited the daughter was ashamed of her mother's face. And daughter hid her, and when she came to the daughter, she ran away from the mother. And she said, "I don't know you in front of all the kids. Why are you coming to me?" But later, when the daughter went home, her mother was crying. And she was so hurt. Why my own daughter was ashamed of me in front of her friends? Then the mother told the story to her daughter. When you were a baby, there was a fire in the house. And there was a fire. And I had to go and get you so that you won't get burned. So I want to protect you so that you will not get killed in the fire. That you will not get burned. So I went to get you, but my face was all burned. But you were saved. See? That's the story. After that girl cried. And she remembered how her mom loved her. That's the kind of love we are talking, sacrificial love. So what a golden example has given here for the husbands to love the wife. The example is what? As Christ loved the church. That's a golden example. Now how did Christ love the church? How did Christ love the church? If you keep on reading, it says here, and he gave himself up for her. That's sacrificial love. How did Christ love? He gave himself. He gave his life to the church. That's how Christ loved the church. And this is agape love. It's not lip service. Because it says here, very clearly, he gave himself, giving his life. That is doing something, acting upon something, that is working for something. It's not just lip service saying, "I love you, honey." Oh, my sweetie. It's easy to say, "I love you, honey." It's easy to say, I love you, sweetie, when things are going fine. The word honey, the word sweetie, will become your enemies later. Alright? Your grandmothers know what I'm talking sometimes, and older people know what I'm talking here, as we see that this word doesn't mean anything. Absolutely doesn't mean anything unless it has a deeper meaning in action. This love is giving himself. So, but it means to practice the love. It means to show proof of this love. Showing proof of the love. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. Well, that is the greatest love. That is agape love. The greatest love is that someone lays his life for his friends. That is action. That is showing proof that you love your wife. Alright? Let me tell you a true story here again. There was this King Cyrus. You heard of him in the Bible. And he was a very noble king. And he was a very sensitive king. And this king had a general. And found out that this general's wife was accused of treachery, and she was condemned to death. But his general, at the beginning, the general did not know about it. He was not aware of this accusation of treachery and that she was condemned to death. But when she knew about it, he came rushing to the palace and burst into the throne room of the king. And he threw himself up on the floor and cried to the king, saying, "Oh my lord Cyrus, please take my life instead of hers. Let me die in her place." But King Cyrus, being a very noble and a sensitive king, he said, "Love like that must not be spoiled by death." And he released her and gave back her to the husband and released from death. But when they were walking happily after that, joyfully walking, holding their hands, the husband said to the wife, "Did you notice how kindly the king looked at us when he pardoned you of this treachery?" And the wife said to the husband, "I had no eyes for the king. I only saw the man who was willing to die in my place." What a beautiful love is that. She said, "I didn't have any eyes for the king. But I saw the man who came, threw himself up, and who was willing to die in my place. That's where my focus was. That's where I was fascinated." Wow, what a beautiful picture of Christ's love for the church, isn't it? What a beautiful picture of Christ's love for the church. As the Bible says that Christ loved the church, he gave himself up for her. He gave himself up for you. He displayed Christ only not talk about love, but he displayed his love on the cross for the church. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." It's the same words what we see in the book of Ephesians 5:25, how Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What a beautiful love we see here. as you know the love of Christ, how he displayed that love on the cross, not loving in words but in really in practice. Remember King David? When King David sinned against God by adultery, having sexual intimacy with Bathsheba, I mean, everything was going off fine, but how the prophet came and, you know, pointed him, you are the man who had done this. And after that, King David, his soul was troubled. And he was in agony of his sin. In Psalm chapter 38, verse 4 says, Psalm 38, verse 4, it says here, for my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. You know, this is a true man of God. The true man of God, when he realizes that he has sinned against God, the first thing he realizes is he's been convicted of sins. When you are truly convicted of sins, we become like King David. Our iniquities have gone over our head. These iniquities are heavy. Heavy on King David. They are too heavy for him. Then keep on reading. Verse 5 says, my wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate all the day I go about mourning. For my sides are filled with burning. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. Here we see he's crushed. He's groaning because the sins or the iniquities are too heavy for him to bear. When I was thinking about this, King David, how he's saying that his iniquities are too heavy for him, even for him to bear. He's getting crushed. He's groaning. How much more Jesus Christ? It was not one person's iniquity that he bore. It was all of the church that he bore. Just not one person. All of the believers that he bore. Just imagine that. That's amazing, isn't it? How our Lord Christ, he bore the sins of all the believers, and the weight of the sins of all the believers, the weight, just imagine, the weight of the sins of all the believers were upon him. And this weight of sins of all the believers that was upon him, and this burden of his sins, it pressed his soul. You know, the sins of all the believers, it pressed his soul so much. And what happened at the Garden of Gethsemane? There was great heaviness of the soul, and we see when these sins pressed his soul, the outcome was great drops of blood fell. Sweaty blood fell from Christ. And this is the kind of sacrificial love Christ had for the church. Just imagine. We are talking agape love here. Agape love, a lot of times, it is, you had to go through pains, sacrifice, difficulties. And this is the kind of love you have to show to the wife. And the husbands will have to go through pain, difficulties. You have to bear all these things. And so important. Just imagine our Savior, our beloved Savior, the intense love he had for us. That's why we call him our beloved. And so this kind of love, as I said, you've got to go through a lot of pains and sacrifice. So husbands, realize your wife is weaker. She's the weaker partner here. She's the weaker partner because 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7 says, 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way. So we need to realize that your wife, we need to live with the wife in an understanding way. That means you need to have a lot of patience. A lot of patience. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers not be hindered. So when you pray, that it will not be hindered. God will answer your prayers. Otherwise, if you are not following this principle, God is not going to answer your prayers. So, as husbands, we are not equal. We should not treat them as equal because, well, I know these things, but she doesn't. You know, but she should. She should work like me. No, we need to be very considerate. We need to be very considerate, loving, patience. Now, when I was thinking about that, the first thing what the Lord showed me was 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What kind of love is this that the husband should show to the wife? It's a sacrificial love. And it's with patience you got to live with the wife because she is the weaker vessel. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting from verse 4, says, love is patient. You know, it's the world is the one that is saying love is all sex and so forth like that. No, 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 no. We are talking sacrificial love. We are talking God's love. We are talking true love, agape love. Love is patient and kind. You know, a lot of times husbands have to put up with what the wives are saying. Because sometimes what the wives go into details and so forth like that. And you know how the wives like to go to the mall or to shopping sometimes. And when they go, they look at one thing and they go back and look at another one. And sometimes they go and look at another one and look at another one. And then they go back to the same thing again, you know. And they could keep on going back. Then they are not satisfied. They go back again. Patience, husbands. Patience. You know, a lot of times God talks to me. When I go straight what I want to buy, and I buy, and I go. Wives are not like that. They are different. They take time. They want to look here. They want to look there. They look this way. They look that way. And they're not in a hurry. And they're different. So here, love is patient. Then it says, love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. So here, husbands, was Christ rude to you? Was Christ arrogant to you? Was Christ prideful to you? No. Christ was not rude at all. He was loving, considerate, kind. It does not insist on its own way. So that means, husband, it's not my way. My way is always right. No, you need to listen to the wives. It's important. Okay? So it says here, love bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endures all things, and love never ends. It never ends. Because we can enjoy the perfect love when we go to heaven. Isn't it? That the perfect love we can enjoy in heaven. This is the kind of love that we need to show. That the love to the wife is to the very end. That means you don't get divorced. You won't get separated. It's to the very end. This means it's a constant love. It's not a love that, whoa, I remember the, you know, it's not saying, remember the love we had at the very beginning? What happened now? It's not that kind of love. It's gone. No. This love is a constant love. Because Jesus' love to the church was, what? To the very end He loved us. He doesn't love one time and say, oh, I'll come and love you later. No, not like that. If you turn with me to John chapter 13, verse 1.
John 13:1, how he loved us. John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. See, that's the kind of love that a husband should show to the wife. To the very end you're going to love. Not for certain times only, but all this time. Wow. You know, who are Christ's favorites? Just imagine. Does Christ have any favorites, and who are they? We are his favorites. We are his favorites in heaven. Who are his treasures? We are his treasures. We are the crown of his head. And we are the bracelet of his arm. And we are the breastplate of his heart. And we are the very center and the core of his love. Just imagine how Christ loves us. What a beloved Savior we have. How we can just glorify Christ for the love he has displayed for miserable sinners like us. But, you know, it's sad to say that there's a great enemy, Satan. With all his forces, he had made warfare against God and against the homes today. Because a home is the foundational institute of God. Today there are divorce laws. Today there are divorce laws that have been changed. Oh, you know, all kinds of laws are being changed today. Because Satan has made war against the homes and against God. And today, there are sex magazines. You know, this love, what we talk about, had made into total adultery, changing. There is so much sex magazines in every kind of store that you go. Even going to the cashier, either way, you will see all kinds of sex magazines. Almost every store. The television have brainwashed and influenced the society. And the television, what comes on the television is full of filth, sex, violence, immorality, adultery. All these things are coming to the very living room, to the homes of God. And the TV and the world, they are laughing at God, mocking at God. And there's so much destruction is happening because of these things. Satan has made war against the homes. And this war is what? Lot of temptations. Lot of temptations in every direction. But husband is the head of the home. He's the priest of the house. Is he going to tolerate these things that is being bombarded to the home? Is he going to compromise sins? Because of these things, the love for the wife is not being done right. Because if you see next week, one of the duties of the husband is to make her wife what? Washing her, making her holy. Making her spiritually holy before God. That's one of the things we are going to go next week. And because of these things, it's not happening. The wife is not growing spiritually. The wife, you know, it's like having a worldly kind of a marriage. So there is an enemy that is attacking the homes. There's so much temptations. And that's why it's so important for us to understand that we need to take care of these things as husbands. As a story, the inhabitants of Mentone, I believe this was a place in Europe, somewhere close to Sicily, Spain, and Italy. There were people, inhabitants in the olden days.
they desired a visit from the Prince of Savoy. So they heard that they would really like this prince to come and visit them, but there are big mountains. So the prince cannot come, not easy, because there are mountains and there are rivers going, and there's no way that the prince can come easily. So what they did was, they made tunnels through the mountains. They made bridges so the prince can come easily and visit them. In the same way, we need to remove our pride. We need to remove our worldliness in the homes. We need to remove our covetousness and our evil habits. We need to remove our pet sins so a highway can build from home to heaven. So our prince, the King of Kings, can visit us all the time. So important that a clear highway should be built from home to heaven through Jesus Christ. So the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Heaven, He can always visit us, and we can visit Him through prayer and through our service and worship. So husband and wife is a team. It's a team. It's unite. Jesus, the Word of God says, when they get married, they become what? One. My wife went to the doctor about 3 days ago. And of course, I went with her. So the doctor said, she looked at her, and Dr. Wong, he looked at me and said, well, when you come here, you always come with your husband. Always. Then I told the doctor, well, the doctor, the Bible says that when we are married, we become one. We cannot be separated. And the doctor said, yes, that's true. That's how it should be. So it's so important that we are one. We are not two anymore. We are united in one. We cannot operate without one another. We cannot. It's impossible. Just like a Boeing 747 aircraft is made out of 6 million parts. And when you fly at the speed of 500 miles per hour, at a height of 35,000 feet, you'll be glad to know that one part is not flying by itself. But all 36 million parts are put together as one unit is flying. That's the way wife and husband should be. That they are one together. That means they should not be unequally yoked. That means they should love the Lord. They should love the Bible, and they should, their ideas, their principles, it should be all one together, molded in one, so they can operate as a unit in the house. So, beloved, what a beautiful example the Bible says. Huh? It's a very honorable example. It's a high example for a husband to follow. It's not, that's why the husband has the greater responsibility in the house. Most of the divorces that happens, about 70% is the fault of the husband. Because they did not take care of the wife in a very godly way. So the husband has a greater responsibility in the house. And with this, we need to understand that it's a sacrificial love. It's not the outward love. It's not the outward beauty love. It's a sacrificial. That means, as we say, there are a lot of work that needs to be done in the homes today. Okay, let's pray.